The new Morrison ministry was sworn in today, including a record number of women serving in cabinet. But one of the coalition's most experienced hands, Senator Arthur Sinodinos, won't be joining the new ministry. The former chief of staff to John Howard and Minister for Science and Innovation under Malcolm Turnbull will replace Joe Hockey as Australia's ambassador to the United States. I caught up with him a little earlier. Arthur Sinodinos, welcome.
Thank you, Patricia. Thanks for having me on.
You've returned to politics after a serious illness. Your party has just won a historic victory. Why did the idea of leaving all of that to go overseas appeal to you?
Well, Patricia, I had discussions with the Prime Minister around the ministry and everything else. And at the end of that, overnight, he rang me back and he said, something else I forgot to mention. Would you be interested in Washington? Now, I'd been offered Washington once before in 2005, and I didn't take it because I thought I was too young for that sort of role, and there were family considerations as well. But I thought this time, well, I'm not going to get offered this sort of post too often. It's a big post. It's an interesting time to be going. And I thought it was something that I could do for Australia that would be, in many ways, a great next step in my career.
You're an experienced and well-respected voice in the Liberal Party, which has lost a lot of senior figures, really, at the election. Can the government really afford to lose you?
Look, no one is indispensable. Perhaps the only one who's indispensable, particularly at the moment, is the Prime Minister. We're a team. And what the Prime Minister did with his ministry is pick a good team. He's going to lead from the front. He's had a major victory, as you said. It may have been 10% miracle, but 90% hard work. He worked on this from day one when he got the job. No one's indispensable, as I said. I think it's a great team and it can take the country forward. And I'm not lost to the system. I'm going to be, with all the appropriate processes having been gone through, go to Washington and do my bit to advance Australia's national interest.
The Prime Minister has suggested you won't be leaving until early next year. What are your plans until then?
Well, as a humble backbencher, I'll sit in the Parliament and give my support to the passage, obviously, of the legislation and other commitments that we made in the election and continue to help people where I can. I've got still quite a few people who come through my door, constituents and others looking for assistance on various things, so there's plenty to do.
Who should replace you in the Senate?
Well, that'll be a matter for the party organisation to sort out. It's always dangerous to anoint people. That gives them, yeah, that can be the kiss of death. It's up to the party organisation. But again, there's always a lot of people who are interested in coming into the Senate. It's a privilege to serve here.
Do you agree with Trent Zimmerman? He said that Jim Molan shouldn't be rewarded for his below-the-line campaign where he was basically campaigning for himself, even though he was put in a different spot on the Liberal How to Vote card.
I think now is the time for us all to come together. I mean, where there are issues to do with the conduct of people in the campaign, well, of course, they can be looked at. But I mean, I think, you know, in victory, we should err on the side of magnanimity. There are some difficult circumstances that sometimes force people to do things. And I think we should be generous rather than, seeking to be difficult. I think these are more internal matters that we should look at out of the glare of publicity.
Do you support a rule change, which he's also suggested, which has more serious consequences for people who do run these below-the-line campaigns?
Look, the one thing I will say on that, and I won't comment on the specific rule change, I'd like to see what that is first. The one thing I will say is, clearly, you don't want a situation where everybody's running around, in effect, running their own election. You do want to run as a team. But as I said before, let's err on the side of magnanimity. You know, we're a government that's just been returned against expectations. We've got a great opportunity and let's focus on that.
Well, let's talk about some against expectations. One thing that did happen, which I think is really significant, is that Ken Wyatt has been appointed into the Indigenous Affairs portfolio. It's also Reconciliation Week. Now, you were around when John Howard committed to changing the constitution to recognise Indigenous Australians. Now we have this proposal for the Uluru Statement from the Heart. Do you think the government should get on board with that change for a representative body that represents Indigenous Australians enshrined in the Constitution? Is it time to shift on this?
As a government, we've made provision in the budget for some issues that go to the very things you're talking about. So I think we're going to see a dialogue over the next few months and years about this, but anything which involves changing the Constitution is fraught. And often in those circumstances, you look for bipartisan agreement to try and smooth the passage. So I note that some of my colleagues have said some very strong things about this in the past, and I think we need to flush this out in the public debate. But having someone with Ken's background, not just the fact that he's an Indigenous person, but who therefore has walked in the shoes of his Indigenous brothers and sisters and knows everything that they faced, but also I think someone who understands how government and processes work is going to be important to help to lead this debate.
I'm trying to draw you out though. Do you think this would be a good thing for the government to pivot on and start changing its mind on?
It's something we're going to have to look at. It's something we're going to have to discuss. But my view is that government is about a whole complex of things. So we've got to do that as well as continuing to meet all of our other priorities. And the priority at the moment is to also get legislation, for example, on our tax cuts through the parliament and support, of course, Ken in his efforts in this area.
Moving on to what your next job will be, what do you see as the most significant priorities for the Australia-US relationship?
Well, look, the most important thing, I think, is that we've been allies for a long time, and there are a number of reasons for that. We share many common strategic perspectives. There's a rich economic and trade relationship. Our cultural and historical ties are very binding and tight. And we fought in each of the major conflicts of the 20th century, and we fought for decent and humane universal values. So I think it's important for us to continue to build on that relationship, to ensure that the United States continues to have a strong presence in our region and is a force for peace in the region, and that working with them, we uphold the global rules-based order. I think it's very important for us as a rising middle power. We have a big stake in a rules-based order, and I think we should be encouraging, whether it's the Americans, the Chinese, or any of the other big players, to support the rules-based order. It's the best guarantee of freedom and security for all of us.
US President Donald Trump is calling for an investigation into Australia's role in bringing to light Russian links to the Trump campaign during the 2016 presidential election. How seriously do you take this?
I'm not across the full detail of all of that. All I will say is that as potentially a representative of the Australian government in Washington, I'll be pursuing Australia's national interest, and our interest is to have as strong a relationship as we can with the American government and the American people. And where there are bilateral issues of concern, of course, work with them to resolve these issues in a mutually appropriate way, amicable way, and hopefully out of the glare of publicity.
In terms of style, I mean, I don't mean to make this like a job interview because you have the job and I have no power to give you one anyway, but how will you be different to Joe Hockey?
Well, look, everybody's different. We're all individuals. We all bring our own life experience and whatever to the role. In my case, having been Chief of Staff to John Howard for a long time, I've actually been, apart from what I've done in my spare time, I've been in the States on a number of official visits over the years, including during the Clinton presidency and the presidency of George W. Bush. I've had the opportunity to meet with significant figures in each of those administrations, and that's given me a bit of background, I suppose, into the nature of the relationship. And I bring that sort of history and expertise and intuition to the role I'm taking up here. So that corporate memory, I hope, will serve me well. I've been involved in things like the Australia-US Free Trade Agreement negotiations. I was at the Canberra end of that, along with some of my colleagues in the Prime Minister's office. And I've been involved in other matters which have affected the relationship, including the run-up to the Iraq War. There's a whole series of things we've worked on over the years, getting the Americans to be more involved with providing heavy lift capability for East Timor in 1999, when Australia was going to lead the force into East Timor. So I've had the opportunity to meet and discuss matters with them and get to know their system a bit, and I'm looking forward to picking up the pieces of those relationships again.
We know that Joe Hockey has developed a pretty decent and strong relationship with the president, and of course a lot of that is on the golf course. And I understand you don't play golf, so how are you going to deal with this conundrum, this shortfall, given, are you like taking golf lessons? Can you give me any insights into how you're going to handle this problem?
It's true. I haven't played golf for a long time, but it's the sort of job where, Patricia, you do whatever it takes. It's important to have the personal relationships. It's important to focus on the soft power side of the relationship as well as the hard power sides. But everybody does it in their own way, and there are different ways to connect. The important thing is to be able to connect and to make the Americans feel that they have someone in Washington they can trust to convey the concerns and decisions and messages of the Australian government.
Now, I know that you were offered this job, and of course you decided to take it after it was your second opportunity to take it. But there was some conversation about whether Julie Bishop, a very successful foreign minister, maybe offered it. She clearly hasn't been. You're going to be taking the role. Should Julie Bishop be offered another diplomatic post or something substantial given her long service?
Look, Julie's been, as you say, long service, particularly distinguished as a foreign minister. But these are matters for the Prime Minister. I mean, Julie's the sort of character who I think could do a great job running one of the UN agencies, for example, as Helen Clark did. I mean, she's a person who's got great networks on the international stage, so she could do any of that. The world is her oyster, but I know at least at this stage she's also focused on doing some other things privately.
Okay, and just finally, and it's something else that Trent Zimmerman has been suggesting, and I'd love to know if you think it's a good idea too. In terms of women's representation, he says he believes in some kind of quota system where at least in the Senate, the two winnable spots are given to a man and a woman. Do you think that's a way of dealing with representation issues for the Liberal Party?
I think if we are unable through our existing mechanisms to deliver on the targets we've given ourselves in relation to this, then we'll have to look at what further mechanisms are required. The caveat I put on that is that in this last election, there's been a surge of women coming in and into the parliament. And our job is to make sure that those seats are as safe as possible and we preserve as many women in the Liberal Party, in the parliament as possible, because that will then create the pipeline into the ministry. And I think that's going to be very important. So there's lots still to do. It's a matter the organisation will need to pursue, but the wood is on us to get on with it. But Scott Morrison has, you know, provided the example because he's got seven strong women in the cabinet, and the signal he sent to the organisation is to get on with the job of creating an appropriate pipeline coming through.
Arthur, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.